Athene Magical College. A practical college for practical magic. They'll take anyone, but the school's tuition includes only a recharge of basic elemental magics each day. Earth, fire, air, water, life, and mind. Anything else, and you have to go elsewhere. That's 85% of the population. Someone who can use fire mana just uses it as fuel. They can work any spell despite maybe having a greater affinity for their innate element. This means that anyone whose powers derive from other sources, be it wish magic, dark vital energy, sensual touch, or even simple kinetic plate shifts, needs to recharge by non-school-sponsored methods. Students are granted a small stipend if they do not need to use the school's elemental ley lines. This is why the Fair Exchange exists. In this dimension, it takes the form of a small courtyard surrounded by various office buildings, strip malls, and industrial parks. To reach it, one must be considerably steeped in magic and have been told the directions. It allows you to set up shops in an afternoon. All you need to do is pitch an idea and pay its very reasonable setup fee. This isn't so hard as it seems, because simply needing a place like the Exchange causes one of its avatars to seek you out and let you know. And the value of things traded to the Exchange tends to depend on how short a creature's lifespan is. To trade one thing for another. This interdimensional entity pushes its embassies into every single plane of existence, and you can usually get a good trade there. With the assistance of one of the Academy's contractors, the Fair Exchange built a bathhouse, a combination of social meeting place, hookup spot, and recharge station, where the simple wearing of an attuned armband allows one to soak in the same pool, but only obtain their chosen type of magical fuel. You're a bit self-conscious at first, especially considering your magical source. But it's really quite nice to just be sociable with other students who are used to being the odd ones out. The place isn't particularly busy in the evenings. Lockers all over the entryway outside, and more within the changing rooms. Some people show up nude, depending on whether they shape change, whether they live in a forest, and whether they just don't care. But everyone tends to have something they want to lock up. A cat girl you know walks past you, quite nude except for the towel tied around her waist. She heads into the steamy room beyond after exchanging brief greetings, her centaur girlfriend following after. The cloth curtain concealed doorway is always as large as it needs to be, which can be something of a neat trick when it comes to the actual dimensions of the bathtubs. The whole place is accommodating. They take payment in local currency, though you wonder what complex system turns local money into things the Exchange wants. You make your way to the cashier, pay, tell him what kind of energy you need, and retrieve a simple band made to be worn high up on your arm. It attunes you to the energies you need to recharge, while also shielding you from the others running through the hot soaking pools. You used to be shy when it came to saying what kind of energy you needed. In fact, someone helped you pay admission the first time. You wonder if that dragon is still hanging around in here. Through the cloth curtain, into the bathhouse proper, 100 pools in various sizes, smooth, clean floors between with non-slip surfaces. Only the nearest tubs are occupied. Towels on racks all over the room. A changing room you could go into, but you arrived already showered and wearing your swim clothes. There are larger pools, but they're just for fun, not for recharging. The stairs leading down to the sub-level are not frequented at this time. You know there are rental rooms, glory holes, and there's even a dungeon down there. The place rents itself out for private parties, or just for people who want to get a quickie in. You have class tomorrow, and you're running on empty, so the tub is your priority. You consider whether to sit on your own or climb in with someone for a bit of conversation. The cat girl and her lover are curled up in a corner one, wanting to be left alone. You see a group of wolf people, probably from the forest goddess's cult, sitting solemnly in a steaming hot tub. Not exactly party people. There's one friendly face, though, on a friendly head. Their short hair is in short, springy coils. The head has brown skin, a strong jawline, dimpled cheeks, and a very nice fanged smile behind purple-black lips. It's a nice head, which is tucked under the arm of a tall body. The body's hands are the same brown as the facial skin. The neck of this body terminates in a flashing cloud of darkness, which is identical to the one below the friendly face's friendly head, where its neck would join that body. A headless warrior and their head, a Dullahan. You can only see the hands, because the body itself is wrapped in not one, but two huge fluffy towels. One draped over the shoulders, one tied just below the neck, like a poncho, swept aside to allow the head to see and speak. This conceals the body's form entirely. It doesn't seem the body has any trouble seeing or finding its way. The two are engaged in conversation, but the head is looking at you with an apologetic grin, as its body is blocking the stairs into a tub you have walked toward without realizing it.
Hey, move up, you big lummox. We got company. Just sit down on the edge and soak your feet. And put me by the side. We can dip me later.
This is way too interesting to pass up. So you say hello and walk past as the body settles the head on the edge. They apparently have some ability to keep themselves upright on that cloud of darkness, you observe as you move past. Step by step, into the heat. Hot water, full and with graduated steps down. Down into a heat that washes away fatigue and instantly begins to fill up your magic. You wish you could cast spells in here. You could do anything. But you'd end up using more than your fee paid for. Instead, you just enjoy the acceptance that comes of being in your element, though you know you're just tuned into one of the 100 magical channels running through the pool. You sit opposite from the pair, the body and their head, and watch the body out of the corner of your eye.
Sorry, bud, my better half just needs a little time. Go right in, but keep us company, eh? Take their mind off it.
Yeah.
I can see you've been running on empty for a while. The school tough. We're new. Where are you from? Around here? Oh, okay. Just transferred, so guess we'll be coming to this place a lot. Of course, if I had any other choice, I'd pocket the stipend and recharge the fun way. Actually, hey, we're band buddies, look. But let's talk about that later. I can see the topic's making my body nervous.
They roll their eyes, and then point them to the side. The Dullahan's body holds up one arm reluctantly. You notice the band is the same garnet hue as yours, indicating this person feeds on lust magic, sensual energy, intimate physical contact.
We're not getting anything from you soaking our feet, hon. And soaking the towel's gonna make you feel embarrassed later. Take all the time you need, but maybe slip your lower body in when you're ready. I don't have a reservoir in me, so the body's the only way for us to recharge. This also means I can't give you a cheeky blowjob to recharge us both. Our name's Lake, by the way. We both answer to it, so use context clues or your eyes to indicate who you mean. They don't do sign language yet, but I can hear their thoughts, so I have to translate. Not that I mind.
The body, Lake's body, reaches out and rests one hand on their head's dark hair, stroking it idly.
The towels are still in place, concealing any real detail about the tall form. But the lower one, the poncho, is slowly being removed. They're still wearing the cape, concealing the upper body. Their lower body is revealed. Long brown legs under loose-fitting swim trunks. Their long legs are quite muscular and have a small amount of dark hair on them. You talk to the head, small talk, about nothing. You don't stare, looking away from the clearly bashful body as its legs slide in. Both head and body visibly relax. Lake notices that you aren't looking at their body. Oh, please do look at them, actually. You're good practice, and we're proud of our body. Oh, do I have to say that? They insist I add, and our mind. It's time for Lake's head to look bashful. Envy feels can be tough. Sometimes you don't want any part of your body clocked. And before you say, we do know about the private tubs. They aren't much more expensive, and we'll do it if we have to. But we both want to give it a shot out here. I'm the social butterfly, but they're really happy you joined us. So please think positively of the... Ahem. None of that. My mouth is all I've got. Honesty is good. I know, babe, you can't help it. Anxiety reflex. Sit further away if you gotta. What I was trying to say before my body so rudely interrupted was, move closer to us. Here. Hey, take that towel off and get on the bench. Lake's body slowly removes the towel tied around their neck, placing it neatly on the side of the tub. This whole time, you just enjoy their presence and the relaxing heat. In keeping with their wishes, you do admire their legs and look a little higher, past a muscled and well-defined brown abdomen, to find that Lake is wearing tight cloth wraps over their entire upper torso, shoulders included. You don't know if they've had modifications up there, or if breasts are being tightly bound beneath, or even if this is just some ordinary battle injury. The body crosses their arms, then boldly uncrosses them, gripping their own thighs through the shorts and sliding into the water, onto the bench next to you. You look, politely, keeping your face neutral. First, you turn your gaze to the cloud of darkness, where the head would be joined to the body, then down over the wrapped shoulders. The darker copper skin on Lake's forearms stops at the beige of the bandages. You look down at their legs and keep conversing, idly, forgettably, with their head. That's good. See how well you're doing? Now, why don't you try putting your arm around our shoulders, huh? You see their bodies stiffen, sitting up very straight in the water. They're really very tall, 7 feet even without a head. But they scooch closer on the bench, until their leg lightly brushes your own. A further, stronger shudder, their muscled fingers tightening on their knees. They're resolved. You keep visual contact with the place where their head would be, paying more attention to the body than to their head. You extend your arm to wrap it around their shoulder and hear Lake's head say yes quietly. You let your arm slide down onto the shoulder, except you never make contact. The body slides downwards and away. You keep your arm held on the edge of the bath, watching as before your very eyes, their body keeps on sliding entirely under the water and out of sight. Lake's approving glance turns slowly to disbelief. Smooth move. Just incredible. Shrugging and returning your hands to your own lap, you wonder if Lake's body has to breathe. It seems it can stay hidden down there a long time, So you talk with their head, now that there is no risk of their body clamping a hand over the head's talkative mouth. You compliment the body's bravery, and feel one quick brown hand reach out and poke your ankle lightly. You're about to make it clear you are serious when Lake's head cuts across you. They think you're being patronizing, and I know you're not. Good of you not to say you understand, since I know you don't. I don't even understand. I don't have assets, secondary sexual characteristics, anything much to be judged by, so how could I know? A good haircut I like, and I'm golden. Though, try finding someone to do hair like ours in that town. I'm lucky one of the dragon sisters knows how.
It's amazing how Lake's head can make a motion, almost like a shrug, using just their eyes and a wobble of their dark, shadowy base. In fact, they're ridiculously, impressively expressive, with minimal real estate to work with.
In my head, I'd say I'm pretty gender anarchy friendly myself, but the heart feels what it feels, and I'll support them anytime. Cradle to the grave. The second grave. We died once, I guess. We used to be warriors, slaying trespassers, but they made an effort to civilize us. The home country is offering sponsorships and citizenship to any psychopomp or ward demon who goes to school. We could make small talk more, but you're apparently too polite to make the first move, and we're sending super mixed signals, right?
You affirm that, yes, it's a complex situation, and you wouldn't want to make any kind of move unless Lake's body is much more comfortable than it is tonight. But you enjoy their company. You even extend your hands in a thumbs up under the water to make sure Lake's body knows you mean them, too.
Good. Glad that's sorted. So, would you be interested in... Well, it won't be sex, so neither of us will get the full magical benefit. I don't think my better half is okay taking off those shorts.
One manicured hand rises from the water below in a thumbs up, confirming that Lake's head is correct. The shorts are staying on. But perhaps also in answer to your own friendly gesture of a moment ago.
But I'm someone who likes long-term investments. And you, actually. If we get comfy enough, who knows? You're easy to talk to, and we gotta stick together, so would you be okay letting my body take the lead and just maybe closing your eyes and having some fun with us?
You think you hear gurgling from underwater, but realize Lake's body is flailing in their attempt to reach the surface. They find their footing on the bottom of the pool so they can rise up slowly, calloused brown hands covering the area where their face would be in an obvious gesture of embarrassment. Yeah, they'd be covering their face, if that face weren't a few feet away and grinning like the cat that ate the canary.
We'll do everything, okay? And, hey, I know you want to make us feel good. It's awkward when you have sex and there's no reciprocity. Lots of people get off on the other party feeling good. I feel what they feel, by the way. And we're horny. But first time, we'll work our way up to it. We can come back to the tubs later.
Lake's body stiffly and slowly stands up from the water, looming above. Water runs off their shoulders, down their tanned and muscled arms. Their body picks up their head, which is grinning, and holds it under one arm, facing backwards so it can still make eye contact with you. They begin to walk up the steps with an embarrassed trudge. It's amazing how much emotion you can infer from body language. You know nothing about their genital situation, but yeah, under the flush of heat on their skin, they're definitely turned on.
Sex in hot tubs isn't as fun as you'd think, and I don't want to sit on the side. How about the locker rooms? We wouldn't be the only ones who've made out in there.
You nod affirmatively and eagerly drag yourself up out of the hot water. Sex in here might risk infection, or just make lubing up harder. The locker room will be fine.
Your nipples are standing up, pert and proud. Your pussy is spread from blood flow engorgement, and dripping with more than just water. Your clit is slightly proud of its hood, and beaded with lubrication. You cover up with a towel around your waist. Lake's head speaks as the three of you head for the locker room together, body still moving tensely, but with purpose. And don't judge me, but I'm gonna want to eat you out while you two get to know each other. I have quite an oral fixation, you might imagine. That glance I just got, and it's the only thing on my mind. I'd also settle for sucking on your tits. Or just put me between your thighs and... Lake's eyes close and their mouth goes a little slack. You think they see drool as they're lost in fantasy. The body makes a movement of its shoulders you might see on someone who is shaking their head, and Lake adds, plus, as they want to point out, giving oral sex is the only thing I like more than talking. You'll get to shut me up for once. The locker room is expansive, with a number of private and large shower cubicles that are probably intended for just what you're about to do. You find a row of them with all the doors open. No one else is here. The dark-skinned Doulahan precedes you into the room and sets their head down onto the bench set into the wall of the shower cubicle. From there, Lake's head can see everything. And you notice their eyes are locked onto your pussy once you pull the towel aside. The body locks the door once you enter, and then leans back against it, gripping one of the shower rails. You're standing right under the shower head, so you hang your towel off a rail and stop when you hear a faint creak near the door. Lake's body has a white-knuckle grip on the shower rail, and you're concerned maybe they're not having fun and might need a break. Then you notice their other hand is down the front of their shorts, and they're grinding and jerking with pleasure while staring at you, openly masturbating. We always get like this. We turn each other on. They wanted privacy more than me, because being horny in front of other people has been something of a problem, and apparently we're both fine with you. The rapid forward tilt of Lake's upper body tells is accompanied by small sighs and moans from the head. It looks like the body is nodding, but also jerking now and then, sliding against the stall's wall. You turn the hot water on, letting it wash over you. If they want you so bad, you'll happily turn around, let Lake lick your pussy and snuggle their body. No doubt the body will need to take things slow. You feel warm, strong hands sliding over your hips as you face the wall beneath the shower head. Lake's body firmly pushes you against it, and you position your hands on the wall, your cheek pressed to the warm tile. This brings your hips forward, and you feel Lake reach around you and deposit something, someone, in front of your hips, where they are level with the bench you were gonna sit down on. Oh, fuck yes, says Lake below, their head now between your legs. Apparently, they have some level of mobility, even without your help, probably owing to magical or telekinetic support. You know this because warm lips slide over your slit. Then their tongue is on your clit, encapsulating you, slurping you, making you weak at the knees. You accommodatingly grind against their tongue, your juices getting all over their face, and Lake's head seems happy to be used for pleasure. The body, undoubtedly affected by the arousal flowing along their psychic link, begins using both of their now free hands to touch you, massaging your ass, humping their shorts-clad lower body against you. You feel some kind of bulge down there, but no way to tell if it's a packer, other gender-affirming equipment, or a cock. You just know that grinding it on you makes Lake's head moan better against your sex, and that the body enjoys the slap of their thighs against your ass. Lake can't push their tongue very deep into you, but that's not necessary. You're getting closer and closer from the delightful suction on your clit, plus the looming assertive presence of the horny muscular bod behind you, their brown arms encircling you to reach down and touch your slit, one finger sliding inside to give their head an assist in pleasing you, and leaving your ass to be smacked and spanked by thrusts of their still-clothed crotch and thighs. Lake's muscular chest feels warm, but you cannot tell anything of their anatomy through the cloth wraps, and you don't care. Hot water bathes you both and washes away any concern outside the dedicated suckling of the pussy addict mouth affixed to you, and the hands which are now respectively fingering your slit and rubbing the base of your clit, just above Lake's tongue, which is focusing more on the tip. Insides are given almost reverent massage by fingers you did not think would be so dexterous and precise. You feel heat rise in your belly as they manage to beckon within you. Close. Almost gonna come. Lake's tongue moves to your pussy lips, where they can lick up as much of your juices as possible, and they swallow their own saliva mingled with your juices. They're so hungry, greedy for you. They weren't kidding about their eagerness to slurp your slit. They start fingering you faster, and now Lake's mouth is fastened on your clit. You don't know why you thought their body would be submissive and need you to take the lead. You'd scold yourself for making assumptions, but there's nothing in your head except feeling pinned, adored. They're grinding their cloth-bound chest against your back. You feel the muscles of their arms where they are reaching around you to fixate on pleasing your pussy. They've stopped bumping and thrusting, and are instead just positioning their hips behind your own, so you feel loomed over and pinned in place. The clit-adoring mouth on you makes up for its limited mobility with intense pleasure sounds and a commitment to your climax. It may not be able to push that tongue inside, but Lake's body has your insides well in hand. Your slit clamps down. Lake sounds less matter-of-fact when they stop sucking for a second, their body still fingering, pinching the base of your clit, controlling you with their hips and attending to your pleasure.
We need you to come. I need you to clamp down around my head and just hump me while you come. I need your juices. Could you please try to come quick? I like this. I want it to stretch on. But we both need you to come first, if you can. It'd be comforting. And gender feel affirming. If we didn't come first, if you just came and shivered while humping my tongue, riding my face and dripping your juices in my mouth, and enjoyed using me for pleasure and just please.
You didn't think the person who'd so enjoyed teasing their own body could sound so subby. Disarmed by their sincerity, you nod a few times, leaning forward so they can see it, and Lake's body rewards you for your commitment to climax by crooking two fingers inside and scrubbing on a spot that feels particularly good. The other hand abandons your clit so Lake can suck it into their mouth. Sealed down, clamped down. So good. You tense all over. The hand that has left your clit goes to work just below your pussy.
Your perineum is massaged, inducing a strange and additional pleasure sensation, as Lake's body also massages the exterior of your asshole very gently. You're there, so close. Lake's tongue sticks to the underside of your clit, and they grind you against it with their upper lip. Their eyes are wet, watering with delight, drool dripping down their purple-black lips. They're so careful, you actually forgot they had fangs. And you know they'd never deliver anything other than completely wonderful oral worship. It's easy to relax in their strong arms. And come. Climaxing. Your juices are thick. Your thighs clamp down and hold their head in place with mouth against your clit. It's hot, and Lake clamps their legs against you from behind, stiffening, pushing you forward, so you grind against their mouth below. You don't think it was entirely voluntary. It's more likely that the pleasure Lake's head is receiving has gone straight to the body, disrupting its dominant posture and making it cling to you. When you climax against their tongue and your lubrication gets a little thicker, they swallow intensely. Their mouth sucks at your pussy lips, licking all over you, making a vacuum seal and generating an intense, emptying out feeling supported by the perennial massage from Lake's fingertips. Whenever they slurp your clit, you clamp down harder. Waves from behind the dam, the floodgate opening. Lake stops fingering you and instead holds you up with one strong arm scooped under your body. But they're not entirely without composure issues themselves. They slump, some of their weight falling upon you. Yet never does their pussy slurping combined with lower body massage end. They keep the pleasure coming, and you're coming. Hot thoughts. You grind back against Lake's crotch. Oh, they like that. They love it. The stiffening, the shuddering, the tightening of Lake's abdomen. You realize that by grinding like a slut in heat, you must have made them feel very comfortable in their sexual role. So you intensify it. Never quite pulling yourself away from Lake's mouth or relaxing your thighs, but making sure their body feels your butt grinding desperately back. You've finished clenching, vibrating, shivering, coming. And a swallowing, slurping Lake pants, satisfied down at crotch level. Oh, oh, we're gonna... There... Oh! Lake's head resumes servicing you. Their body stops pinning you in place and slides onto the bench next to the head. You're not quite sure what's happening until you see, in plain view, one hand down the front of their shorts again. But they're not rubbing. They're just holding the hand there, clamping around it the way you did around Lake's face recently. They curl up entirely on their side of the bench, facing away from you toward the wall with their back rounded. One jerk. Another. Lake's head is servicing and cleaning your pussy with dazed fervor, obviously experiencing whatever supreme climax their body is getting. Yes! Oh, it's been so long. Fuck. Fuck. Yes. They sound purely ecstatic. Lost. The slurping continues as whatever half-minute frenzy has been rocking Lake's world slows. Their body collapsing onto the bench. They weren't okay with coming. Didn't feel like they could get an angle on how they wanted to get off, you know? Oh, I've been sucking on toys for months. I can't come with the parts I have without a lot of work.
Purely mental orgasm is... Oh, fuck. Fuck!
You're surprised to see Lake's head widen its eyes, staring at your slit as you sit on the bench, too, your belly clenching now and then in aftershocks. The source of Lake's surprise is evident when you see that their body is going again, or at least stimulating past the point of climax, hand working with a wet, slick, sticky sound inside their shorts.
Too much! Too much! Too much!
Lake incredulously repeats. You reach out and run your fingers through the wiry spirals of their hair, enjoying the texture, but really pushing for the scalp underneath to give them a light massage. They inhale deeply, eyes closed, biting their lip, trying to endure. You hold their head tight through a few more climaxes, which they enjoy immensely, before their body is sated. You're starting to get soaked again, those aftershocks fading. You rub your thighs together and end up with some sticky juices smeared on them, which Lake's head, through orgasmic moans and twitches, manages to beg you into feeding to them on your fingertips.
If you let me back near your pussy, I'm gonna have to lick again. So just... Thanks.
This came after you hugged the heavy weight of their head to your chest between your tits. They do suck on your nipple. The cloud of darkness at the base of their neck sorta tingles to the touch, but is quite safe. The body continues on and on. If you hit on them, you know they'd probably fuck you, let you fuck them, or even start topping you. You can tell from their body language, their posture. But the best thing in the world to do, you determine, is just to be a safe presence while they grind out some long pent-up masturbation. No judgment, no words, just them carrying on their sexual satisfaction, and their heads staying occupied enough with you that the needs of the body can be fully carried out without anyone clocking gender, genitalia, or anything other than the pure sexiness of the twitching body, the moaning, groaning, sweated, climaxing head, periodically begging for your pussy, and the joy of someone having a little bit of freedom from the oppressive judgment of gendered expectation. This moment can be for them. You're pretty sure there'll be time for shared pleasure later. Well, actually, it's guaranteed, because you're gonna be getting off to remembering the way their body tensed up and almost fell off the bench, sweat glistening on their dark shoulders through explosion after explosion of masturbation-fueled orgasmic addiction. You're not a saint. It takes a long time before Lake's body gets up to do anything, or even turns around to look at its head and yourself. When it does, it rises slow, thighs shaking, barely able to stand. It takes a great exertion for it to keep from shuddering, clenching its thighs and coming again. You see this moment of control. Then there's this strange moment you witness. Lake's body takes one step to stand in front of you, and their head, which you are holding on your lap, now that you've slipped a towel in the way to keep them from trying to eat you out. Though their head is still inhaling deeply, the scent of your sex in the air turning them on. But they don't look super turned on. Lake's body reaches out, gently, bringing their fingers up to their own face, which cuddles against the hand. It's a confirming, conciliatory gesture, a lover kind of thing. You feel intrusive witnessing this making up.
It's okay, you did the right thing.
Lake's head smooches one of their body's fingertips reassuringly.
Go get our clothes.
Give them your locker key, hun. The first remark is Lake reassuring their own body. The third is addressed to you, and you hand over the key clipped to your towel, which Lake's body checks for the number and heads out for. The body closes the door behind them, and a tendril of dark energy reaches back through it to click the lock, so that you don't have to get up. You lift Lake's head up in your hands, looking closely at their dark, handsome face. They look sort of harrowed. Put me back in your lap. I liked it. I'll explain. You do as they asked, quite happily, though blushing when they turn over and begin nosing against your pussy through the towel.
I forgot how hard they can go. I'm a one-and-done kind of person. I mean, I liked it. I'd do it again if they offered. But thanks for the emotional support. Oh, I haven't come properly in months, and I've tried to be patient. I guess something clicked. Someone has to stand up to them. They get carried away. The psychic link is weaker when they're this far away. So...
Lake's head glances conspiratorially side to side, looking up at you from your own lap.
Hey, before they get back, quick, can you kiss me?
That's what they needed to keep secret? Not even nearly the weirdest thing you've seen or done this week. You bring your lips to theirs, and they lightly bite your lower lip before engaging with tongue, eagerness. You taste yourself on their lips, and they moan hungrily against you before you put them back down in your lap. They groan with regret when you break the kiss. They're looking up at you with a giddy, almost shy expression. Strange to see on this person so full of blunt words. The door opens, then, in walks Lake's body, and their head pretends to be disinterested and not at all blushy and shy from the kiss a moment ago. True to form, the body returned with all of your things, and their own. You set Lake's head down on the bench, stand up, and begin getting dressed.
So hey, I don't want this to be some kind of missed connection, right? We're in the third section, magical engineering. Come to our break room anytime you want to hang, or just email us. We're in the student email registry. We'll be here every weekday. Our course empties us out of magic on the regular. So, we'll come around the same time, yeah?
They sound very hopeful, so you immediately confirm your schedule. You inform them that you enjoy them, that you want them to have no misunderstanding about your intent to see them again, and that you use the word see advisedly.
Whoa. I respect it. You know, they have rooms downstairs. Ow! Okay, no need to pinch. Maybe next time we can sneak away. Just the two of us?
The body begins hustling their head away from you into the locker room, but not before Lake's head calls back.
If this big lug won't come, you can just borrow me away if you want.
The body extra didn't like that, and the wagging of one finger in your direction. The translation is clear. Threesomes only. Fine by you. You thought it was shy and standoffish at first, but now you've realized Lake's body is just intense and serious. Maybe inexperienced. They're almost out of sight. Lake's body turns around and walks quickly back toward you. Their head is still facing behind them, so it can't see you as they approach. And one muscled brown arm wraps quickly around your shoulders. You're pressed face first into their chest through a thin t-shirt they put on. The hug is tight, intense, and very brief. They then move in a flash, running away from you at speed. Their head, meanwhile, the knowing grin on that dark face bouncing under its body's arm, tells you they know exactly the kind of dynamic they've orchestrated, and will be more than happy to compete with their body for your affections. The two of you exchange a brief wink at a distance before Lake makes it out the door of the locker room entirely. As soon as your legs work again, you're going to depart too. Even though it's going to mean walking out with your pussy completely soaked, you're pretty sure you'll get turned back on no matter how many times you shower. You assess your internal reservoir, deciding if you should dip back into the tubs for a few more minutes. No. In fact, you're not sure you could. You seem to be overly full on energy, really just brimming with it, despite the physical exhaustion. You must have gotten something out of this unconventional sexy fun after all. Or maybe... The dosage of energy from direct intercourse is so vast. Perhaps people with your genetic condition shouldn't be so quick to disregard other forms of sex as potential fuel. Especially if someone lays nearby and masturbates to 4 or 5 extra orgasms. Maybe something to write about on your term paper, you reflect, as you turn in your armband at the front desk and step out into the comfortable air of the Fair Exchange Embassy's main plaza. Far ahead of you, on the forest path, you see Lake's body holding their head up on one hand to stare eye to eye with it, and pointing at it with the other hand for emphasis, while the head argues jovially back. You wonder what kind of conversation is going on. Might be time to learn sign language.